Well, God bless you guys. Good morning. Oh, come on. You're going to hurt my feelings. Good morning. Ah, so much better. Thank you for being here today. You guys look great. Merry Christmas. It's getting so much closer, and I hope that it's engaging you in a conversation with Jesus. I hope that if you're not a follower of Christ, that you are becoming curious. I hope that it's stirring something in you, and hopefully that's joy. Joy, we talked about last week, comes from an outside source, just like you don't choose to feel fear if you're camping and there's a grizzly bear outside your tent. You don't think logically, well, I should probably feel fear at this moment, so I choose to be terrified. In the same way, when you feel joy in response to outside news. And that's exactly what happens in the story of Christmas when the angels appear to shepherds and say, stop being afraid. You need to actually feel joy. What I'm about to tell you is going to introduce joy not only to you, but to the whole world. I talked last week about being introduced to the creator of the world. Today we're going to spend some time talking about the light of the world. Let me tell you a little fact that you may or may not know, or it might surprise you, it might not. It's estimated that the young adults we currently call millennials, which are somewhere between the ages of 18 and 34 years old, that they will take an estimated 28,000 selfies in their lifetime. That means that they will spend 54 hours taking selfies. That seems like a small estimate, a conservative estimate. I'm sure that number will continue to increase because it was in 2010 that iPhone introduced the forward-facing camera where I can see myself and take another picture. Selfies escalated dramatically during that time. I think they're going to continue to do that, actually. Now, you might think that I'm going to talk about narcissism and self-indulgence and being very introspective with yourself, but I'm actually not. Everything's okay, guys. Just, there you go. Look, there we go. Perfect. Let's take another selfie. Everybody grab your cell phone. I'm not going to talk about any of that. Actually, I'm going to talk about lighting. Because in order to make a picture happen, you have to have good lighting. A lighting determines whether you'll have a picture or not. You see, you can't walk into a dark room. Help me, Andrew, make the room dark. We're going to take out as many lights as we can. We can't turn off the tree or the garland here. But you're getting a relatively good idea. The screens are illuminating a little bit. The garland is. The tree is. If I were to bring a camera into this room right now or use this one right here without the benefit of a flash, I wouldn't be able to capture any image at all. I would maybe be able to see some grainy image in there, but I would not be able to really identify anything. The picture would be worthless. But we have this thing that takes a dark room like this and introduces light into it. Well, it's supposed to. There you go. Little offensive, little invasive, right? That light enables me to be able to capture your image. Oh, man, you guys look good. You look like ghosts in the room. Go ahead and bring the lights back on. In order for you and I to be able to have those moments, to have a picture like that, we have to bring light into a dark place, or you can't capture that moment at all. When it comes to the value at which you and I live life, light plays the most important role of our lives. Think about it. I'm not even talking spiritually yet. I'm just talking about the fact that you and I don't live in darkness. You and I live in light. I mean, we're in light right now. We eliminated some of it for a short period of time, but There'd be no way. It'd be so uncomfortable, so awkward, so weird for us to do this whole service in darkness. Now, outside there is natural light. There's not a lot of it because it's cloudy, it's a little rainy. But you and I live our lives during daylight hours. I mean, we work during that, we play during that, our kids go to school during that. And then when the sun sets, we introduce artificial light to continue to be able to do life. We even light up streets. We light up our homes. There's lights in our cars. There's lights that project from our cars because it's not enough that the streets are lit. We actually have to have lights in our cars so that when we turn corners and we change directions, that light precedes us and goes before us. You don't go into a dark room and try to do whatever you're going to do in the dark bedroom. First thing you do is turn on a light switch. You introduce light to darkness. We are enemies, natural enemies of darkness. At least it feels that way. Even as children, we're kind of scared of the dark because darkness seems to have a lot of unknown things in there. Darkness seems to have a lot of scary elements. I mean, I'm 46 years old, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not super fond of the dark. We have a guy here who runs a campground up in Weimar, and not good cell reception in the kind of the lower part, and so you kind of have to go up on a hill somewhere. And we're at a men's camp, and I had a quad, kind of one of those mules, you know, the bench seats, and they're outdoor vehicle, and I would take that high up into the kind of the mountain area to call Lisa and just check in with her and see how she was doing. And in order to be able to hear her, I had to turn off the motor, and I didn't want to drain the battery, so I'd turn off the lights. And I want to tell you, when you're up in the middle of the woods at night, it's dark. I mean, it's really, really dark. And when your eyes can't see, all of a sudden your ears seem to take on a bat-like effect, like you turn into like Batman. I can hear everything, and I can hear twigs breaking, and I can hear things. Now, naturally, it's probably a squirrel or a rabbit or a raccoon or a deer or a giant grizzly bear. Even though they're not in California, that's what my imagination allows me to believe because I can't see in the dark. So I'd keep turning on the lights, and I'd take my flashlight, and I'd shine it around. I felt like I was in the Blair Witch movie. I was just like, I'm so scared. Snot running down. We don't have a good relationship with the dark. We need light to navigate through our lives. It's funny, though. In the spiritual landscape, we've been living in darkness from the beginning. Remember Adam and Eve? Were born into light. They were born into a relationship with God. The Bible says they literally got to walk hand in hand with God. They lived in the light. It's amazing the draw, though, that darkness has. God said, do not eat of this tree. It will introduce you to sin and the darkness that comes with sin. Darkness is always the consequence of turning your back on light. Adam and Eve introduced darkness into humanity, and for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, humanity lived in spiritual darkness, relational darkness, emotional darkness, intellectual darkness, in every way that darkness could be introduced into the world. Even though the sun shone in the sky, they still lived in darkness. And it continued like that until Jesus. Until joy was introduced with the news. Listen, it's why Christmas mattered then. It's why Christmas matters now, is because where there is darkness, light is the only thing that can push back darkness. Now, when I say Christmas, I don't mean Christmas in the Christmas way that we're doing Christmas with the ornaments and the things, because Christmas didn't look like that, did it? Christmas was a lot more humble. It was a lot more understated. I'm talking about really experiencing Christmas. I'm talking about the Christmas story. I'm talking about the idea that God came into humanity to save humanity from darkness. That's why Christmas mattered 2,000 years ago, and that's still why Christmas matters 2,000 years later, as you and I are in the season of talking about what truly brings joy to the world. Here's what brings joy to the world: when light comes into darkness. So grab your notes if you don't already have them out. Joy comes from knowing the light of the world. I'm going to turn off this very expensive camera. It's not mine. I don't know how to turn it off either. If I throw it on the ground, will it stop working? Can I do that? Joy comes from knowing the light of the world because, number one, I can see how truly powerful and dangerous darkness can be. So I introduced a passage last week from John chapter 1, and the reason it's important for you and I to have this scripture and these kinds of scripture in our hearts is because you and I have a relationship with Christmas Jesus. It's the relationship that almost all the world has with Christmas Jesus. It's that Jesus is this infant, and infants are not offensive. Infants are beautiful. Infants are coo, and they smile, and they're warm, and they smell good, and they're just harmless. Nobody is afraid of a baby. Now, I've seen some babies that, I'm telling you, I hope you have pretty babies, and I hope your grandkids are pretty. Not all babies are pretty. Some babies are really hard on the eyes. I mean, I want to celebrate the beauty of your baby, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've lifted the blanket on some kids and go, "Gah-gah-ho, hey, that kid's got a career in radio." I'm just telling you. Keep that kid away from cameras for sure. I know, I'm going to hell. Don't. But here's the thing. We love babies because we're in charge of babies. Babies need us. We don't need babies. Babies rely on us. We don't rely on babies. That's the relationship we feel safe with, is having a relationship with Christmas Jesus, baby Jesus. That's the way we like to think of Jesus, because I can go through my whole life and never feel offended by baby Jesus. I can go through my whole life and never be taught anything by baby Jesus. I can go through my whole life and never be pushed back on by baby Jesus. I can never be challenged by baby Jesus. Baby Jesus is super safe to have a relationship with, but there is scripture after scripture after scripture that reminds us that he didn't stay a baby, that he grew into a man, and that man had a ministry, and part of that ministry was exposing the truth and telling people that they were in darkness. Listen, in the beginning was the Word, and that, I told you last week, that word is in the Greek logos, and it translates multiple different ways. One of the ways it can be translated is word, but it's an incomplete translation. It really means a living, active, speaking voice. It's a very complex word, but the essence of it is it's this creative power that speaks out, and when it speaks, life occurs. In the beginning was the Word, the voice, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So for all of those people that are oneness, that believe that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit are all the same person, this says that Jesus was with God and is also God. He's co-equal in the Trinity, right? He was with God in the beginning, before time could be measured. All things were made by him. Jesus is the creator of the world, and nothing was made without him. In him there was life, and that life was the light of all people. From Jesus, what emanates from him is light from his life. He is the creative force of life. It's expressed through light. The light, capital L, that's referring to Jesus as a person, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. Circle that. That's a really powerful sentence. There was a man named John the Baptist, who was sent by God. He came to tell the people the truth about the light, capital L, Jesus, so that through him all people could hear about the light and believe. So that John was there to tell about Jesus coming as the light. John was not the light, but he came to tell people truth about the light. The true light that gives light, lowercase l, to all was coming into the world. Wow, that is really, really hard to understand unless you just slow down and read it and think what you're reading. There's some passages that you can't just blow through and blow over and just go, yeah, oh, that was good, that was good. Thank you, Lord, for that. Our Father who art in heaven, you just do your prayer and then you get up and you go do your thing. That is a verse that and verses that you have to just sit there and go, whoa, okay, I got to slow down. There's a shifting between capital L light and lowercase l light, and it's talking about John telling the truth about the light. What truth needs to be told about the light? The truth that has to be told about the light is pretty simple, that people, when they know only darkness, believe that there's nothing bigger than darkness. We live in bubbles. We think that the whole world knows about our life and the things that we like and the things that we care about. It's why people can get onto Facebook and Twitter and any form of social media and act as if the entire world's as outraged about something as they are. It's because we live in a bubble that makes us believe that the whole world sees everything the way we do. And listen to me, when you live in perpetual darkness, you believe there is nothing but darkness. So it's hard for us to have scale comparison to believe that there's anything bigger than the power of darkness. I've heard of people who've literally become depressed and suicidal over the condition of the world, not their own life, the condition of the world. I watch students in colleges weep and cry and want to quit college because of the election. Because there are some people that only see darkness in everything. Let me give you an analogy of how to compare size of something from perspective. Royal Caribbean built the world's largest cruise ship. It's called the Harmony of the Seas. It had its maiden voyage in May of this year. Largest cruise ship on the planet. I want to just give you a few things to describe it. It can house 6,780 people. It has a full-size basketball court. It has a miniature golf course. It has 3 climbing walls. It has 4 pools, 10 hot tubs, 20 dining facilities, 2 10-story slides, and a 1,400-seat Broadway-style theater, just to name a very few things. You could spend weeks on there and never explore the entire ship. Lisa and I lived in a town called Lebanon, Missouri, that had only 5,000 people in the entire town. You could fit everybody in Lebanon, Missouri, and all their friends on that boat. You could house an entire city on there. I would imagine that crew that works on there, because part of that 6,780 people are almost 2,000 of them are crew, or a little less than that. And they spend weeks and weeks and weeks on there. I would imagine to them, it literally feels like living in a whole different world, that this is their world. This is the context of how they live. They have their cabin, they have their workplace, they have the place where they go and relax, they enjoy some of the facilities while the people are out in ports, and that is their world. But I want you to hear this, as big as that is, that ship floats on the Atlantic Ocean, which is 41 million square miles. That ship is not even a microbe in comparison to the size of the ocean. But it's the biggest thing in the world when you're floating inside that boat. When you're walking up and down the halls, when you're lost and you can't find your floor, when you're supposed to be in this restaurant, but you happen to be in the restaurant on the other side of the ship, and it's going to take you an hour and a half to get to the other side to get to your reservations. Oh, you wanted the other 10-story slide. That's on the other side of the boat. There's a tram coming in 30 minutes. It'll take you over there. But it's not a blip. And I want you to hear this. The Atlantic Ocean is the second largest ocean. It's only two-thirds the size of the Pacific Ocean, which is over 60 million square miles. So in the scale of the Earth, did you know the Atlantic Ocean takes up 20% of the Earth's surface? That ship does not even make a mark, but it feels huge when you're living on the ship. It feels like your entire world when you're living on the ship. It's all you know. It's hard to believe there's anything else out there, but there are hundreds of millions of square miles of ocean that little ship will never even touch. And I want you to hear this. The enemy's biggest lie to humanity is there is nothing in this universe but darkness. That is why John the Baptist came to say there is a light coming. And when you're telling someone who only lives in darkness about light, light seems invasive, it seems intrusive, it seems offensive. If you and I sat here for 30 or 40 minutes in pitch darkness, eventually our pupils would dilate to the size that we could barely see. Whatever little sources of light there would be, we would use those to be able to recognize each other and see shapes and movement in the room. But let me tell you this. If I then came in and without any warning started setting off that speed light, that would be offensive. You would resist that light. It would feel intrusive. It would feel invasive to you. But if I came and I said, listen, I'm going to introduce light into this room, and that light is going to be able to show us where everyone's at, and it's going to be able to provide a place for health, and we're going to be able to see things, we're going to be able to do things. Things are going to change. I want you to know this. There's something other than darkness for us to live in. Because whether you and I realize it or not, we were never meant to live in darkness, but you live there the whole time. You start believing that that's what you were created for. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, for you are all children of light. You are sons and daughters of the day. We were not created of the night, nor are we owned by darkness. God wants us to know the plan was never for you and I to live in darkness. You might be thinking, okay, I buy that. I hear that. Here's my problem with that. I look around and the entire world is dark. I see darkness everywhere I go. I want you to listen. John 3:19-20. This is what follows. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did not come into this world to condemn the world but to save the world. And then it says, and the judgment is based on this fact. Not everyone is going to be saved. Not everyone is going to turn to the light because God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what's right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. There's always going to be people who want to stay back in darkness. There's always going to be people that tell you the light, don't go towards the light, don't go towards the light. The light's a trap. When you get towards the light, it's just there to judge you. It's just there to expose you. It's just there to uncover you. Secondly is this, joy comes from knowing the light of the world because the closer I am to Christ, the further I get from darkness. Now, before we get too quick in judging those people who embrace darkness, just know that the world has its dark places because of you and I. We think it's someone else who's responsible for the darkness, but I want to ask you this. Is there anything that you do that you wouldn't want everyone to know about, to be completely in the light? I mean, all of your thoughts, all of your behaviors, all of your actions, are they all in the light? Are they all born of light? Are they all a reflection of life in you? Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have light that leads to life. That sounds really good. It sounds like everyone who's a follower of Jesus is in the light. Now, I'm going to get a little nuanced here because I think, I like the way that the Voice Bible says it. On another occasion, Jesus said to the crowds again, I am the light that shines through the cosmos. If you walk with me, you'll thrive in nourishing light that gives life, and you'll not know darkness. Those are two really cool ways to say that Jesus is light, and those who follow him will live in light. Well, let me ask you this. If Jesus is at this end of the stage, and I follow closely to him, I am closest to the light source, right? There can be no... The Bible says that Jesus is light and the darkness does not overcome it. So we know that in Jesus is pure light. It's all-encompassing light. It's powerful light. So as the closer I am to him, there are no shadows around me. There is no place that is unlit in my life. That's an intimidating place to be because it also means that I live 100% open and in the light. Now, here's the reason why you can see one follower of Christ who's living in the light and who seems to be flourishing in life, and you'll see someone else who's also a follower of Christ who's struggling and seems to not have left behind darkness, is because when there is distance between me and the light source, the greater distance between me and the light, the greater possibility of shadows in my life. And shadows are where bad things take place. I spent 18 years in youth ministry. When we had a youth event, I can tell you there was no unlit corner of any building, because where there is a shadow, there is a teenager doing something wrong. We, from U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, we brought in floodlights to light it up like the U.S.-Mexico border. We would light the place so that no shenanigans would take place. Because guess what? In this room, there's nothing you can do that I can't see you doing because it's lit. Now, if we took out the source of light or we dim the lights, you want to know why during worship we dim the lights? So that you can have anonymity, that so you can have a moment of privacy, that so that you can be in your own sanctuary worshiping God. Because people are very self-conscious when they want to worship God. They want to have freedom. And when we want to have freedom, we like to be able to really close off the screen of our life so that people aren't watching us. We embrace darkness in moments like that, and we certainly embrace it when we're doing things wrong. Find me a bar that's well lit. Well, don't go find me a bar. You get my point. You're like, I'm going to take him up on that offer. Honey, we've got a job to do. The truth is that we keep a distance from the light because it enables us to live in shadows. But I want you to hear this passage, Ephesians 5, 1 through 14. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. I want you to hear this. You cannot imitate God if you are distant from him. If he's out of your line of sight, he is out of your range to be able to imitate his behavior. Because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. Therefore, listen, here's how he defines how we live in light. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness so you can be sure no immoral or impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. And I want you to hear this. This was addressed to a church. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things people do. Listen, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. Why would you follow the light but still keep distance so that you can stay in the darkness? For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them in your own life and the lives of others. It's shameful to even talk about these things that ungodly people do. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. You've got to come to a place where you understand that health comes from being in the light. I don't want a surgeon working on me who's working in a dimly lit room. Everything that's wrong in us has to be exposed in the light. You think it's better that you get into the light and say, God, I want every unclean thing in me exposed and revealed so that it can be out of me. Because I want you to hear this. The health of that is the enemy can no longer use it to guilt you. He chases you down with what you do in the dark. And you go, tell you what, I'm going to call your bluff. I'm going to bring it into the light. Now what do you have against me? Third and finally is this. Joy comes from knowing the light of the world because he transforms my life to become glow in the dark. Bud, will you bring that up to me, that stuff right there? Thank you. This stuff's come a long way since I was a kid. Glow in the dark stuff. I love this stuff. I loved it then. I love it now. I even have watches. I like watches a lot. I had an Apple Watch for about 10 minutes, and I hated it, so I gave it to my son. Maybe because my Apple Watch didn't have what this one has. It's just got dots, you know, where some of the numbers are, and it's got hands on it. And when I move this watch into darkness, it glows. I can still tell what time it is, at least for a short period of time. This stuff here, it's a football. Glows in the dark. Frisbee. You can play frisbee at night if you want to. Bounce these balls around your house. You can make anything glow in the dark. Do you know how? Because these things contain something called phosphors. And there's different things that make up what a phosphor is. But a phosphor is essentially for lack of a better expression, it's a cell that contains the ability to absorb energy. Energy is given to it by light. When it's in the presence of light, that phosphor cell charges with energy. And then when it's no longer charging, it begins to discharge the energy. And when it discharges, it produces light. How freaking cool is that? So what they do is they mix phosphors inside of paint and inside of, they melt it into the plastic and they put it inside these rubber balls so that the thing that it's inside of has phosphors that are absorbing energy and in the outside of the source of energy are discharging the energy and producing light. It has to be in light to charge, and it has to be out of the presence of light to discharge, and it brings light. You see, I'm able to tell what time it is even when it's dark. You're probably a little bit ahead of me, right? You probably know that that's entirely the concept of why we spend time in the light. John 12, 35 says, my light will shine for you just a little longer. This is Jesus speaking. Walk in the light while you can so the darkness will not overtake you, so that you will have light even in darkness. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they're going. I used to think that that meant Jesus was light, and when he was gone, there was no light in the world. But what Jesus is actually saying is, be in the light so that you're charging your phosphor cells. Because when I'm gone, you're going to have to discharge your light. That energy that you get, that spiritual renewal that you get, that charges your cells. And then when you go into dark places, into the dark world, you'll discharge and you'll create light. That is good. Here's another way to put it, Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. Can I just tell you right now, here's what's really cool. There's a philosophy, a physics philosophy, a metaphysical philosophy even, that believes that nothing in itself has color. It's only a reflection of light. Light possesses color. and as it refracts and reflects off of objects, depending on its bend and its interaction with that, it will then appear, because you and I all see different colors. Those who are colorblind don't see what you and I do, right? It's because things in themselves may not have color at all, but they only may be a reflection of light, because you take out light and nothing has color. Don't spend any time thinking about that right now. And I want you going, I didn't hear what he said at the end, because I was like, dang, that may be true. But I love the way it says this. You bring out the God colors of the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. In other words, let light shine in you and through you and around you, exposing everything in your life. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. You and I, our whole purpose is to have relationship with light so that we can be reflections of that light, so that we can be in the presence of Jesus, the hope of the world, the creator of the world, the light of the world, so that when we go into dark places, we bring light to the world. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Wait, Jesus, I thought you were the light of the world. Jesus could have just as easily said, we are the light of the world. I bring you light, you bring them light. Every moment you spend with Jesus, you charge your phosphors. You fill up with that energy. You walk out of here different, glowing. It's why, listen, this will only stay lit for a little while. Almost all of my watches have that same phosphor quality. All of them glow in the dark for a short time. If I want them to glow again, you know what I do? So dumb. I have a phone, right? Where's my phone? I can just go, boop, 11:58. I don't like doing that. You know what I like doing? I like going, boop. I put my flashlight on there and I make my watch glow. And then I go, cool, 11:58. Listen, if I want this to keep shining, I've got to keep exposing it to light. The reason the Christmas story matters is we have to keep bringing people back to the light. We have to keep going to the light, because you're going to go into homes and parties and conversations and workplaces, and this time of the year is either going to be miserable for somebody, or there's going to be a hunger in their life to know more about the light. And you go, good news, I've just been in his presence. I've just spent time with him, so I've got this glow-in-the-dark quality about me. I'm going to bring a reflection of him. I'm bringing out the God colors of the world because I've been in the presence of the light. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I want you to have a moment. Just in the quietness and the darkness of closing your eyes, and imagine your life without light. And maybe that's easy to imagine. Maybe you think, I feel like I'm living in darkness. I feel like so much darkness is all around me all of the time. Maybe you need to come to Christ today, not to baby Jesus. That's a beautiful, amazing story that introduces us to God inside of flesh. But that's not who you have a relationship with. You have a relationship with the creator of the world, the creative voice that literally speaks with such force and authority and power that life is created through his words. And hear this, he wants to speak to you. It's not about joining a church or a world religion or somebody in your past that said you should have done this or a parent who dragged you to church. This is about you sitting with the creator of the universe, with the light of the world, and him speaking into your life, saying, I created you for a reason. I created you not for darkness, but to live in the day. To change the world, to bring light to dark places. Would you say yes to him with that invitation? If you would, I don't want anyone looking around, just put your hand up and say, I want to say yes to him. Thank you, thanks, 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 thanks. Father, my prayer is this, for those who have not walked in the light, who have not walked close to you, who don't yet have a relationship with you, we pray this together, that Father, you would forgive us of our sins, that you would bring us out of the darkness, that you would bring us into the light. We wouldn't fear the light. We wouldn't fear exposure or judgment or condemnation. You said you didn't come into this world to condemn us, but to save us. Your light brings healing. The enemy lies to us about the light. The enemy tells us the darkness is where we should stay. That's where we're safe. That's where we're not judged. That's where we're not condemned. The enemy's a liar. When we live in light, we live in truth. Light comes from Christ only. It's not a force in the universe. It's not some new age concept. It's not some new fad on Oprah, God. It is light comes from you and you alone. For those of us, God, who need to walk closer with you so that we can charge our phosphors, so that we can be full of the energy of life that comes through intimacy with you, so that when we go back into dark places, we are beaming with your light. And that we keep coming back and coming back so that we can keep recharging those cells. For both of us, I pray that we leave here transformed in relation. In Jesus' name, amen.